Well, hello everyone. This is Robin Duncan, and this is part 3 of 4 of our Miracles in EFT series. And today our topic is on stress, trauma, and regrets. And these are some pretty heavy topics for most people. And some people experience stress in their lives, and maybe it's not so bad. But then there's other people that experience very deep anxiety and fear and even panic. So today we're going to try to put it all together. And I'd like you to just listen to the words and be sure to edit the words to make them as specific to your situation and your feelings as possible. But I know through studying A Course in Miracles that I had to really look at what I was holding on to that was holding me back. And I found that one of the key elements was this profound and deep sense of guilt and unworthiness. And that unworthiness was something that I really couldn't pin down as to where it came from. And yet A Course in Miracles says that we feel unworthy because at a very deep level, we believe that we are separate from God and that somehow either we caused it or we are somehow flawed and that God must have thrown us away or turned away. Well, we all know that that separation has never occurred. But it basically left us with this very deep sense of guilt that we caused something to go wrong. And so our first experience of change in our mind was that idea, the false idea of separation. And so now when we go to face any kind of a change, it could be that your first thought is, oh no, what's going to happen? Because your model for change is something from long ago, way down deep in your mind, and that model for change brought you something that felt quite devastating. Now, thank goodness that none of it's true, and what we are here to do is reclaim our true identity as the holy child of God. You know, in truth, there's only one of us here. We are not these bodies or these finite conditions living in a house of forms and temporary conditions. We are eternal spirit, one with God. And in A Course in Miracles, we learn that what God has given us has already been given. So if you feel like somehow God is holding out on you or keeping something from you or delaying you from your happiness or even testing you at some level, those are all concepts that we have, in essence, made up. And today we are willing to look at those, lay them down, and leave a nice wide space in our mind for the Holy Spirit to intervene on our behalf. Now, when we think about stress in general, usually it's because we think that something bad is going to happen, or we are anticipating that something might happen that looked or felt like something that happened before. You know, we reach into our mind, I call it the library of the past, and we go through our Rolodex of thoughts, and if something's coming up, even say it's a move to another city, well, if you go back to your library of the past, and if your last move was very hurried and challenging and nothing went well or right, then you would be very tempted to defend against that happening again. But what we don't realize is that when we're doing that, when we are in that mode of defense, we're trying to keep bad things from happening, what we are actually doing is contributing to them happening again. A Course in Miracles teaches that we create what we defend against. So if you start to feel stressful on any level, and we've all done it in the past, and I've done it more times than I can count, we want to pause, turn over our stress, our fear, our worry, and be willing to know that we actually do not know the answer. In fact, we do not know and we cannot know. We do not know who should come together for the move. We do not know the right time of the day. We do not know what the weather is going to be or what kind of vehicle that needs to be used. We do not know how things should be assembled in such a way that it can be a peaceful, positive, and happy experience for everyone involved. And yet within us, there is this highest place of consciousness that does know every single one of those answers. What we tend to do is launch right off and start figuring out how this should go, defending against the pain of the past, and before we know it, we are halfway down the road, and it's a road that leads nowhere, right? And then we get stuck. And then we go back to prayer and we say, you know, hey, God, can you help me out here? This isn't going so well. And that was a pattern that I really had to look at within myself because I noticed that I would head off in a direction and then it would be a message of, come on, God, come with me. Help me with this. This is really a good thing. And I really had to back up and learn to ask first and then listen without agenda. Because if you really don't know where you're headed and you don't know what the details are, well, you don't really know should you take a step forward or sideways or two steps back or turn around and twirl. You really don't know what you need to do. But what we do know is that God's will is for your happiness and mine and for us to have everything. So instead of focusing on what we do not know and what we cannot know, I like to focus on what I do know. What I do know, at least through my own learning and now experience, is that God is love. And when it doesn't feel like love, look like love, sound like love, or even smell like love, then we can pause and ask for a healed perception. It means that we are engaging the part of our mind that is in fear and judgment and analysis. And this is called the ego, which we know. So whenever you're starting to feel stressed or worried or scared or anxious, by the time you get to those feelings, you have already decided against yourself. This is because the feeling follows the decision. You know, if you were to look out the window and you see that it's snowing, your mind is already preparing you to be cold and to defend against the cold. Now, what you may not know is that maybe in the next hour, it's going to stop snowing completely. And in fact, the sun is going to come out and it's actually going to get very warm. And if you were to just march out in your big snow jacket, well, you might be way overdressed, you know, 60 minutes down the road. You know, there is always an answer. I'm just thinking of a very quick little symbol of God's love that came through one day. And I was sitting out in front of a church for an Easter sunrise service. It was very cold, and I was up in my city where it was very sunny and warm, and I did not ask in advance about what to wear and what to take with me. Didn't know to do that at those times. So I went off to this church service. I'm in my little dress and, you know, no sleeves, and because where I was, it was very warm. But when we went further towards the coast, it became colder. So we're in the service and we're sitting outdoors, and I realized that I was really, really cold. And I didn't want to disrupt the service. I didn't want to miss the service. So I just kind of muscled through it. And I was just sitting there and, you know, being quiet and listening. And my husband wasn't wearing a jacket either, or I might even have hit him up for his jacket. But that wasn't a possibility. So I'm sitting there just being quiet, and I thought to myself, wait a minute. I am entitled to peace wherever I am, even if I screwed up, even if I forgot my jacket, right? So I sat there in the chair, and I just turned inward, and I said, God, you know, I forgot my jacket, but will you please give me a very deep and calming sense of warmth that I can feel all through my body so that I can enjoy this service? Will you please help me with that? And I know that my mind can make all decisions and join with you and know that I never have to be uncomfortable for any reason. And I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to generate heat from within me so that I can really remain in that peaceful condition. And all of a sudden, I still had my eyes closed. Somebody in front of me turned around and tapped me on the leg and said, "Would you like my jacket?" And I looked up, and the person was wearing one of the biggest, puffiest snow jackets I have ever seen in Southern California. And I thought, wow, where did you get a jacket like that? You know, who wears a jacket like that around here? And I said, oh, no, it's okay. And he said, no, he said, I'm hot, and I really would be happy for you to wear it. I'm not cold at all. So he puts this, it felt like a down sleeping bag around me, and I was just sitting there smiling and enjoying that all I had to do was turn inward and with peace in my heart just ask for the warmth that I was seeking, and then lo and behold, it shows up in physical form from a source that I never imagined and never even asked for. So let's know that whatever situation you are in, there is an answer. We are never left without help. And these are the things that we are learning and we can rely on as what we do know. What we do know is that God is love. What we do know is that we are not required to suffer. What we do know is that we are not asked to give up our peace for any reason. So the moment that seems to occur, we can know that we are entertaining one of our own judgments or misperceptions, and we can simply turn that over and let that be healed. And then lo and behold, the projection or the experience we see with our eyes or feel with our body, all of a sudden that experience shows up as healed and restored. If I really find myself in a state of worry or anxiety, I like to go to lessons 47 through 50 in A Course in Miracles. And you can even read the lesson titles, like the first one is, God is the Strength in Which I Trust. And then the second one there, lesson 48, is, There is Nothing to Fear. The third one, lesson 49, is, God's Voice Speaks to Me All Through the Day. And then lesson 50 says, I am sustained by the love of God. And each one of those lessons has a short little script beneath it that really reminds us that we need to turn the problem over, which is so easy to forget when we start getting caught up in trying to solve or fix or change our situation. In fact, in lesson 47, it says, if you are trusting in your own strength, you have every reason to be apprehensive, anxious, and fearful. What can you predict or control? What is there in you that can be counted on? What would give you the ability to be aware of all the facets of any problem and to solve them in such a way that only good can come of it? What is there in you that gives you the recognition of the right solution and the guarantee that it will be accomplished? It says God is your safety in every circumstance. His voice speaks for him in all situations and in every aspect of all situations, telling you exactly what to do to call upon his strength and his protection. There are no exceptions because God has no exceptions. I really love this because we are learning to turn it over. Now, your ego might say, well, then what's the point of me being involved at all? Because this verse says that, you know, what can I do to make anything happen? Or it almost makes you sound small in some way. And it's not intended to do that. What it's saying is that our mind has a little bit of fear. And when we are in fear, we are likely to try to defend against what it is that we fear. And so we are really not the best one to make a decision in that situation. And also from our point of reference, until we are fully awakened, we are not aware of all events and circumstances, past, present, and to come, for ourselves and for everyone else. We are not at that level of awareness because of the fear that is now clouding our mind. So until that fear is neutralized and completely undone, and we abandon it completely, then we are very helped by asking our higher mind, which is within us, to make that decision for us. There is a place within you right now that has every answer. No matter what is going on right now, how long it's been going on, no matter how frequent it has occurred or how serious it seems to be, there is an answer. In fact, in the Course, where it talks about Jesus and how he raised those from the dead and healed the blind, and it's really showing us that there is no order of difficulty in miracles. Now, that's hard for our mind to accept sometimes, but let's just borrow his certainty. Let's borrow the certainty of Holy Spirit. Let's just be willing to consider that there's more for us to know, and there is greater happiness to be had. So today we are going to tune in and look at those areas that have been rather heavy or difficult, and we are going to be willing to look at them very directly. See what comes up if something still surfaces. And then we are not here to heal it. We are here to acknowledge it, see where we might have decided against ourselves in the process, and then just turn it over. You know, it's not up to you to analyze the whole thing and figure everything out. But it is helpful to look at what might have occurred where you actually decided against yourself. Because what we do know is that God is love, and that you have never been judged, and that you are already forgiven because there is nothing to forgive. It's almost like we placed our hand over our eyes and we're not seeing the light of the sun, and somehow we think that the sun went out or the light went away. And all that's happened is that we have now experienced some kind of barrier between us and what is true. And as that is undone, well, then all that truth comes rushing back into our mind so that we can remember once again all that we are and everything that has been given, so we can claim it without hesitation. You know, when we go to God, sometimes we feel tempted to try to work it all out first. In fact, our ego would say that, well, God doesn't help those unless you help yourself, right? And that teaches you that you must try to figure everything out yourself before you actually go to God for help. And I've learned one very important thing from the Course, and that is go to God quickly and early. You know, let's go up in consciousness. Let's know right away that we don't know the best course of action because we have fear in our mind. And let's just be okay with that. And let's let ourselves be led into a much happier situation. And as each time this occurs, it reinforces our trust, our faith, and even our willingness to turn to our higher consciousness even more quickly. So the message in there is, do not purify yourself first. He says, bring to me anything that's hurting you. I am the purifier. And that doesn't mean that you're flawed and that you need to be fixed or somehow made better than you are. It means that while your mind is in fear, let something higher within you guide you and show you the way. Now, there will come a time where it feels like you don't even have to ask anymore because you're already in a constant state of listening. You have trained yourself to listen without hesitation. And even when you get some kind of message that you don't really understand, you actually follow it anyway if it feels peaceful. So it's almost like you've practiced holding the hand of Holy Spirit, just imagining that. And pretty soon, you're just part of this dance. And wherever Holy Spirit leads you, well, that's where you want to go, because you know that that is the best possible direction to go in. So sometimes you're told just stand quietly. Other times it's just, you know, go ahead and relax for a while. And other times you'll feel like you're at a full run and you've got a lot of things to do. But what we do know is that God is love, and that you are not required to suffer or be delayed or sacrifice your peace or solve your problem first before going to God. So let's go fast, let's go early, and let's be willing to let go of any time we've ever chosen wrongly or went ahead and tried to figure things out and it didn't go well. Let's just acknowledge it and get that tissue box and let it go and free yourself once and for all to receive all that is rightfully yours.